Okay, today we begin Maseches Nedarim. Maseches Nedarim involves obviously a lot of the halachas of Nedarim. However, there are two types of Nedarim. Maseches Nedarim only deals with one of the types of Nedarim. The very first Ran in Maseches Nedarim tells us at the very beginning, Kol Kinyan Nedarim, Neder hu be'echad mishnei inyanim. And Neder happens in one of two ways. There's what's called Nidrei Hegdish, and there's what's called Nidrei Isser. Our Masechta is only going to be about Nidrei Isser. Nidrei Isser means that a person asers something on himself using a Lashon of Neder. That's what's called Nidrei Isser. Nidrei Hegdish is a person takes a Neder to bring a Karban, to be either Lamezbeach, or to bring something Lebedek Habayis, to the Beis HaMikdash. That's dealt with in Seder Kachin. That's not dealt with here in Seder Nashim. Why Taka is Maseches Nedarim in Seder Nashim at all? So that is discussed by the Rambam in Perush HaMishnayos, and what the Rambam essentially tells us is that even though the halachos of Nedarim obviously apply both to men and to women, it has nothing to do with women per se, but it doesn't relate to things bein ish l'ishto, like ksuba, that's an obligation of a man to a woman, but still it's in Seder, Rebbe put it in Seder Nashim, because the Ikar Parshas Nedarim is said in the context of a father being mefer the Nedarim of his daughter, and the husband being mefer the Nedarim of his wife. And the reason it's specifically after Maseches Ksuvos is because we sort of had an introduction to Nedarim in the 7th Parak of Ksuvos. Parak HaMadir was all about Nedarim, so once we started talking about Nedarim, we continue to talk about Nedarim in Maseches Nedarim. The Masechta essentially deals with three topics. There are the dinim of the Neder itself, when it's Chal, when it's not Chal, on what a Neder is Chal, things like that. Then there are the dinim of Hataras Nedarim, then the dinim of Hafaras Nedarim. The bulk of the Masechta, the first 8 prakim of the Masechta, are about the basic halachos of Nedarim, about the kinuyim and yados of Nedarim, which are lishonos that Nedarim work with. The second paragraph is going to be lishonos that Nedarim don't work with. Third paragraph is going to talk about Nedarim that aren't Chal, even they are said properly, they're formulated properly, but for some reason or another, they're not Chal. And then in the fourth and the fifth parak, we're going to talk about someone who's mudra ana, mudra machal, what he's asurin, what he's not asurin, and shutfim that are nodra ana from each other. The sixth and the seventh parak, I'm going to talk about a neder, who didn't say very clearly what he meant, so what's included in his neder, what's not. The eighth parak is going to talk about someone who takes a neder for a specific time period, what's included in that time period. But then finally, at the end of the Masechta, we move on to the other two topics. In the ninth parak, we talk about hataras Nedarim, which involves going to a chacham to undo the neder, and then the last two prakim, the 10th and 11th parak, deal with the hafaras nedarim, the husband or the father being made for the nedarim of the wife and daughter respectively. Now, in order to learn Maseches Nedarim, the first thing that strikes you as soon as you open up the first page of Maseches Nedarim is that the page looks different than it does on every other Masechta in Shas, and that is primarily because we don't have Rashi and we don't really have Tosfos. When I say we don't really have Tosfos, we do have Tosfos. There is a Tosfos in the margin of the page, not in his normal spot, but the primary commentary on Maseches Nedarim that we always look at is the Ran. The style of the Ran over here is a Mefaresh like Rashi, but he also elaborates much like Tosfos would normally elaborate. So the Ran is sort of a combination between the two, so it's a little more challenging than just doing the Rashis, but it's necessary, like doing Rashi would be necessary, because it's the basic mefaresh of Maseches Nedarim. The one that we always turn to is the Ran. What's on the other side of the page? So if you trust what it says on the top of the page, it says Rashi. The only thing is, Rashi never really has to identify himself. So that should be our first clue that it's not Rashi. If it says Rashi on the top of the page, and this is already, there are certain dapim where it says explicit. It's printed in the actual Gemara from the Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis to Daf Chaf Hei Amud Beis that Chaser Hinevei Taktim Pirush Rabbeinu Gershom, that it was chaser in the Masechta, and they had to fill in Rabbeinu Gershom. But the Achronim pointed out that the whole thing's not Rashi. It's not just from Dav Chav Beis, Dav Chav Hei, the Chida, the Meretz Chayis, all of them point out, the Shittim Gbetzes, they all point out that it's very clearly not Rashi in this Masechta. And the Chida, one of the Chida's Rayas that it's not Rashi is interesting. The Beis Yosef, in a few places, in Aruch Chaim Sim Mem Zayin, in Yerodea Sim Reshid Zayin, Chosh Mishpat Sim Kuf Pei Vav, quotes the Mefarish on Maseches Nedarim that's identified here as Rashi, and he quotes it as a Mefarish. He doesn't quote it as Rashi. He says the Mefarish on Maseches Nedarim. Not only that, the Chida points out that in some places where the Beis Yosef quotes the Mefarish on Maseches Nedarim, he writes about it v'lo chash l'kimche, that he wasn't, you know, he writes in a lashon chutzpah almost that he would never say about Rashi when disagreeing with Rashi. So it can't be that this is Rashi. The Beis Yosef never speaks about Rashi in that way. This is some other Mefarish. So it's a nice Mefarish. It's a good Mefarish, but it's not the first one we turn to. The first one we turn to is the Ran, and then Rashi is the Mefarish is one of the others that we'll turn to. But it's not now. Does that mean Rashi didn't write on Nedarim? It seems that Rashi did write on Nedarim. Other Rishonim do quote from Rashi's in Nedarim. So it seems that there is a Rashi on Nedarim somewhere. We just don't have Rashi on Nedarim. So because we don't have Rashi on Nedarim, that's why, again, we have this unusual way of the format of the page is unusual, and the way we're always going to be doing things is by looking at the Ran first, and then only later looking at the other Rishonim. So just to familiarize ourselves with the page, like I mentioned before, Tosfos is in one margin. You also have a Pirush HaRash on the page, also in the margin of the page. So those are the four primary Rishonim that appear on the page itself of Maseches Nedarim. The Ran first, the Mefaresh, Tosfos, and the Rush. Now, in order to understand a little bit about what we're going to be learning today, the a neder could be chal in three ways. There's the simple way that a neder could be chal, if a person says a regular lashon of neder, he says, this thing, davar zeh, asur alai. I am making this item asur to me. It's a very powerful thing, a neder, that a person can take something that on a daraisa level is completely mutter to him, there's absolutely no problem with it, and create an isur daraisa by saying that this should be, I'm taking a neder, this should be asur to me, it now becomes asur mi daraisa, that most of the time we can't just make new isurim daraisa, they stopped making those a long time ago, but we have the ability with a neder to create a brand new isur daraisa. So the typical way to do it is by using a regular lashon neder, davar zeh asur alai, davar zeh alai kekarban, those are which means that it should be treated like a karban in that it's asur because of its kedusha, so too this item should be asur to me because of its kedusha. That's the typical lashon of neder. Then there are two other types of ways to take a neder. There's what we call kinuyim, where instead of saying it should be like a karban, you say, which is the normal lashon, you would say that it's a konam, konach, konas, other lashonos, and the Gemara is going to have a discussion where these lashonos came from, but they're not typical lashonos to use to describe that something is asir. So that's what we call kinuye nedarim. And then there's yados nedarim. Yados nedarim is when a person takes a neder and he's using the normal lashon, but he doesn't complete a sentence. He starts saying a lashon of neder and never finishes it off. That's what the Rishonim assume, that the reason why we use the term yados nedarim, that what we yad is the part of a kli that we call the handle. Just like a yad is a hand, so the handle of a kli is the yad. When you pick up a kli by its handle, you're only touching something that's sort of external to the kli, the tip of the kli, and yet you're moving the entire thing. So you're taking an entire neder just by beginning the lashon of the neder. That's the concept of yados nedarim. It says if a person took the entire neder. So what our Mishnah is going to do is going to tell us that there's a din of kinuye nedarim, and then it's going to give us specific examples of yados nedarim. The Gemara is going to be bothered that normally it wouldn't give examples of something before it tells you the din of something. It only tells the din of kinuyim, not the din of yados, and then gives examples only of yados and not of kinuyim. On Daf Yud, we're going to have examples of kinuyim. So the Gemara is going to be bothered by the Seder HaDevarim, by why the Mishnah is formatted in that way. Well, we're going to come across today some important concepts. We're going to come across the difference between a neder and a shvua, which is going to appear on the top of Daf Beis Amud Beis, and then the Gemara is going to give different examples. Then in trying to explain why, right after discussing kinuyim, we then give examples of yados, the Gemara is going to go through all of Shas and find where do we say, we start with a list and then explain the first part of the list first, and where do we find that we start with the list and then explain the last part of the list first. So it's going to have three examples where we discuss the last case first, and five examples in Shas where we discuss the first case first. That's essentially the outline of the daf. So let's begin Maseches Nedarim. With that introduction, let's begin the actual Masechta. Kol kinuyei nedarim kenedarim. Any kinuyim of nedarim, any corrupted lashon, strange way of saying a neder, still has the status of saying a regular neder, and the neder would be binding just like any other neder. Just like a person says that kikar zeh alai kikarban, this loaf of bread should be to me like a karban, it should be asr to me. If he says some other lashon, like it should be alai konam or konach or konas, that would also be chal. That's a kinuy. Using some of these foreign lashonos will also work. V'charamim kecharamim. And if a person uses a kinuy for a cherim, that's also going to be chal. What does a cherim mean? So the Ran points out over here that there are two types of charamim. There's cherme kohanim and there's cherme gavoa. Cherme kohanim, the pasuk talks about in the Vayikra Perach of Zayin. Ach kol cherim asher yachrim ish la Hashem mikol asher lo, ve lo yimchar ve lo yigael. By cherim gavoa, it says kol cherim kodesh kadashim ula Hashem. So these psukim teach us that someone who says that certain properties, these nechasim, are going to be cherim le kohanim, they are given to kohanim like truma. It now belongs to a kohen. But if he says it should be cherim le shamayim, cherim le bedek habayis, that belongs to the bedek habayis. So that's pashtus over here, what we're talking about over here. The Ran says that it's we're talking about Nidre Yisr, we're not actually talking about Haramim, but Pashas is we're talking about regular Cherme Kohanim and Cherme Gavoa, that you don't have to use the regular Lashon. Even if one uses an irregular Lashon to declare something to be a Cherim, it's still going to be Chal as a Cherim. Ushvuos kishvuos. And similarly, when someone takes a Shvua, not a Lashon of a Neder, but a Shvua, in an unusual lashon, by saying shvusa, shakuka, all these different types of corrupted languages that one could use to say a shvua, that also is going to be chal. And on Amud Beis, a little bit, we're going to discuss what the difference is between a neder and a shvua. There's one really big fundamental difference. We'll get to it. Unazirus kinazirus. And similarly, if someone takes a neder to become a nazir, which that's our dafyomi coincidence for today, because it's in this week's Parshas Nasam, that we read about the Parsha of Nazirus. If someone takes a neder to become a Nazir, even if he doesn't use the typical classical language of Nazir, he says Nazik, Nazich, Paziach, different types of Lashonos that don't really sound like that, that sound a little bit like Nazir, but aren't the word Nazir, that would still count as a Nazirus. The Rishonim over here asked the question, Tosus and the Ritva, why does the Mishnah bring that Kinuyim have a din of the Iker only by Nedarim, Nazirus, and Shvua? There are other ways to also designate something verbally that we don't mention in the Mishnah. For example, Hekdeshos kekdeshos, Arachin ka Arachin. How come we don't say Kinuye Arachin? Person takes an Erech. Erech, the Ploni Alai, that I commit to give the Erech, the assigned value that the Torah gives. Of this guy, I commit to give that to the base of English. How come we don't say Kinuye Arachin ka Arachin? Kinuye Hekdeshos kekdeshos? Why are we limiting it to Nedarim and Nazirus and Shvus? Why don't we say it about other things? So the Tosfos and the Ritva answer that we're going to have a machlokas later on in Daf Yudam Aleph what these kinuyim are. What does this mean? You use these corrupted languages. You say, instead of saying Nazir, you say Naziach, and all of a sudden that counts as if it's an actual Lashon. So we're going to have a machlokas later on in the Gemara that according to Rabbi Yochanan, these kinuyim are lashon nachrim. That these aren't made up words. These are actual words in foreign languages. And these are words that were used by the nachrim to describe these very same things. Reish Lakish holds that no, these are lashon shabadu lehem chachamim milibam. That the chachamim themselves came up with these lashonos on their own. So the Tosfos point out that according to Rabbi Yochanan, that they're lashon nachrim, it could be that there was no lashon nachrim for our rachin and for our kedeshos. So there simply don't exist kinuyim for those types of verbal designations of hegdish. We only have kinuyim for the other for that which is mentioned in the Mishnah. And according to Reish Lakish, that it's badu chacham milibam, it could be that the chacham were not masakin to take a neder by these things unless the Torah specifically said in the pasuk la Hashem. We have a pasuk cherun la Hashem, karban la Hashem. It never says erech la Hashem. It never says isra la Hashem, hegdish la Hashem. And maybe the whole takana of kinuyim that the Rabbanan came up with other lashonos that will also work is when the Torah overemphasizes how powerful our dibur is, that our dibur can create something la Hashem. So where the Torah specifically is megala that you create something la Hashem, that's where we use these lashonos of kinuyim. That's how the Balei HaTos suggests. Shidum Gwetza says that no, when it says kinuyim nedarim kinedarim, nedarim sometimes means a very specific type of vow or oath or something that you are committing to, and sometimes it's just a general category. Nedarim, that there are, the nedarim means all sorts of verbal commitments, and included in the term nedarim is hegdish and arachin and everything else. And then Achinami says the Shita Mukbetas, you could have kinuyim by all the other things also. And we just happen to mention nedarim is a generic term that would cover all of those examples. So now the Mishnah, after it tells us that there is a din of kinuyim, now it starts giving us examples of yados, which again is going to bother the Gemara right away. He never even told us that there's a din of yados, that you could start the lashon and that still counts as a neder, but we give examples of yados. Ha'omer l'chaveru, someone says to his friend, mudarni mimcha, I have a neder from you. Or he said, and that's it. He doesn't say what. He doesn't give any details. Or mufrashni mimcha, I am separated from you. Meruchakni mimcha, I am distanced from you. And he says shani ochel lecha, in what sense that of what I eat from you. Or shani toim lecha, what I taste from you. Even though he never said a lashon iser or karban or anything, he just said there is a neder about eating between me and you. But he never said what. He never said it should be aser for me to eat from you. It should whatever your food should be on me like a karban, so he never said the main lashon that you would expect him to say that creates the iser, still usser. He's still not allowed to eat his friend's food because that's what we call yados. He began using the proper expression of iser, that's good enough. Even just beginning to use the proper expression of iser would still count, it would still be a lashon of neder. But if a person says a little differently, he says, Menuda anilach. So he says that even, and most of the Rishonim understand, even if he says, Shani toim lach, Shani ochelach, that I'm menuda, menuda is a lashon of a cherim, that like I'm in cherim from you in terms of eating and in terms of tasting. So that's not going to be chal midin yad, because menuda is not a lashon of a neder, it's a lashon of a nidoy. But Rabbi Akiva hayachochich bezalahachmir. Rabbi Akiva said, maybe even that's good enough. Maybe even that is a strong enough lashon of neder. Lashon of chochich means he was hemming and hawing. He wasn't sure, but he said maybe it's kedai. Maybe we should be machmir, even if you use such a lashon of menuda ani lecha. Maybe that's enough to say that it's actually a binding neder. Now but the Rambam points out if he violates that neder and he eats from him, he's not chayiv malchus, because even according to Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva himself wasn't certain that this is a lashon that you're going to be that's an actual neder, but he was chochich lahachmir. He thought that maybe it's such a lashon to be binding, and therefore he thought we should be machmir at least as a matter of lechatchila. We should be machmir. Now we mentioned over here shavuos kishavuos. That if a person takes a kinoy of a shavua, he doesn't use the term shavua, but he uses some other term that's similar to shavua. That's also binding. The Ran over here in Shvuos Kishvuos, the Ran points out that a person who says Mare Kula, that has a din of Nishpa B'Shem. If a person doesn't even say Shem Hashem, he takes a Shvua, the Mare Kula, the master of it all, that has a din of a Shem Hashem. That Ran is quoted Halacha L'maisa in Hilchos Brachos. There's a big suffix. What do you do if you're not sure whether you have to make a bracha on something? So typically speaking, we say Suffik Brachos L'Hakel. But it's not comfortable to say Suffik Brachos L'Hakel. I'm not sure if I should make a bracha, so I'm not going to make a bracha. It feels very risky to just not make a bracha. So the Aruch HaShulchan has a suggestion. There's a Gemara Maseches Brachos. The Gemara says that as someone who wants to bench, and instead of saying the regular benching, he says, Brich Rachmana Malka Dialma Mare Dai Pita. Blessed is Hashem, Malka Dialma, the king of the world, the master of this bread. That in that way is Yotzei is mitzvah of the first bracha of Birch Samazon. And that's why we paskin Shulchan Aruch that way. That even just saying in Aramaic, that the master of the universe, blessed is the master of the universe, and this bread, that one fulfills the mitzvah of benching at least the first bracha. So the Aruch HaShulchan suggests that whenever someone is mesupak in a bracha, you could just say Belashon Aramis. You could just say Brich Rachmana Malka Dialma Bari Nefashos. If you're not sure if you need a Bari Nefashos, you could say it like that. Instead of Baruch Atah Hashem, where you're risking saying Hashem Hashem for nothing, just say a Brich Rachmana Mara Dialma, something like that, and that would save us from any suffix, because you'd be Yotze the Bracha, but it's not Motzi Shem Shemayim Vatala, because you're not actually saying the Shem Hashem. And the Aruch HaShulchan says that I do this myself. Aruch HaShulchan writes in Reish Beis, he says that whenever he has this suffix, that's what he does. And he says if a person has Kavana, when you do that, a person should have Kavana, that if he's Chayiv in the Bracha, then he's having Kavana L'Shem Bracha. And if he's not Chayiv in the Bracha, then it should be an Amira B'Alma that he's just saying, but that he's not actually Chayiv in the Bracha. And he says, you know when he does this? When he drinks hot tea or hot coffee, because there's a suffix about a Bracha Achrona when you drink a hot drink. Normally, in order to be Chayiv a Bracha Achrona, you need to drink a proper amount of Revius within the proper time frame, in the amount of time that it takes to drink a Revius. So when you're drinking a cold drink, it's very easy to do that. You just gulp it down. But a hot drink you sip from, it's very hard to gulp down. So some people have a chumra that they'll sip a little bit at the beginning, but they'll leave enough at the end once and wait for it to cool off enough to gulp it down so that they'll for sure be chayiv in a bracha achrona. That's what the Mishnah Berurah suggests to do. But it's a suffix whether you chayiv bracha achrona if you sip from it, because how do you view what the shear is of drinking a revius? Is it the amount of time it takes to drink a revius of a cold cup of water, or is it the amount of time that it takes to drink a revius of whatever drink you are drinking? So if you happen to be drinking hot tea or hot coffee, and the amount of time it takes to drink a revius is 5 minutes, so then the shear is going to be 5 minutes. So it's a suffix. The Aruch HaShulchan says, you know what, when I have a hot tea or a hot coffee, that's what I do. I say the bracha, I say the Bari Nefashos with Brich Rachmana in Aramaic instead of saying it regularly. So a lot of the Achronim aren't so happy with this Aruch HaShulchan. And they point out that it's against this Ran. That the Ran says specifically over here that when a person uses a Lashon of even in Aramaic, saying Hashem's name, even in Mare Kula, that has a din of being of taking a shvuah b'shem Hashem. The Chassam Sofer is mochiach from this Ran that the same is true when it comes to Hilchos Brachos. That when you say Mari Dekula, when you use the Shem Hashem even in Aramaic, that would have a status of Shem Hashem and it would still be a bracha levatala, says the Chassam Sofer. So one doesn't save himself anything by using this Eitzah. There are other Eitzahs of what to do when a person is not sure whether he's chayv in a bracha. In each case, we have different Eitzahs. But this one the Chassam Sofer wasn't so thrilled with, but it's just interesting to note that the Aruch HaShulchan Seitza comes from Iran right here on the first daf of Maseches Nedarim. Okay, let's see the Gemara. Amud Beis. Kol Kinuyim Nedarim Kinedarim. The Mishnah had said that any Kinuyim, any of these other languages that we use that aren't the primary language of a Nedar, also have a status of a Nedar. Maishna Gabe Nazir Delo Ketani Lulukulu Umaishna Gabe Nedarim Ketani Lulukulu. In Maseches Nazir, we have the same Mishnah, essentially, where it also says that Kinuyim Nazirus are Kinazirus, that when a person takes a Nedar Nazirus, but not in the normal language of Nazirus, that still has the status of becoming a Nazirus. Nazir, but it doesn't tell us about, it only says about Kinuyi Naziris. It doesn't tell us about Kinuyi Charamim and Shavuos. So how come in Maseches Nedarim we talk about Kinuyim of Nedarim and Charamim and Shavuos and Naziris, but in Maseches Nazir, where we have the same Mishnah, we only talk about Naziris? This, either in Nedarim only talk about Nedarim and in Nazir only talk about Naziris, or mention all of them in both places. So why is it that in this Masechta it says it differently? Sometimes the Gemara will ask this kasha, sometimes it doesn't. We have a lot of times in Shas where the same Mishnah will appear in two different places, and sometimes it appears in more detail in one place than in the other place. And sometimes the Gemara will ask it as a kasha, sometimes the Gemara just leaves it alone, never even bothers to ask it. So the Shittum Gvetz over here points out, the Gemara asks it when we have an answer, and it doesn't ask it when it doesn't have an answer. Meaning it's the question isn't really so much a question, because the Mishnayos could have been set up just to however Rebbe thought to teach it. But the question is only an introduction to an idea that we're trying to express in an answer. So why is it that Nedarim and Nazir are different from each other? Mishum Neder Shvua Ksivi Gabe Adadi. Neder and Shvua appear in the Torah right next to each other. The pasuk by Midbar Perek Lamed Ki Yidor Neder La Hashem. The next words are, oh, hishava shavua. So if yidor neder, oh, hishava shavua. So you see that neder and shavua appear together in the Torah. That's why once you mention satani tartin, so we mention whenever we're mentioning neder, the kinuyim of neder, and we're going to talk about the kinuyim of shavuos as well. Vekimen the tani tartin, tani lekulu. And once we mention neder and shavua, so we mention everything else as well. We mention charamim and nazirus as well. But really, it's based on the fact that we're going to mention Neder and Shvuah together, since the Torah mentions them together. That's the pasuk that I just mentioned is the pasuk that Tosfos and the Ran point to over here as where the Torah mentions Neder and Shvuah together. It's interesting that the Rush and the Mefaresh quote a different pasuk. They have a pasuk also in Bamidbar Perek Lamed, but 11 pasukim later, pasuk Yudalid, where it says Kol Neder v'Kol Shvuas Isar. That Kol Neder v'Kol Shvuas Isar. So you see the Neder and Shvuah mentioned together. So the Acharonim ask, well, if you have two pasukim that both mention Neder and Shvuah together, and one of them is 11 pasukim before the other one, why would you quote the later pasuk? Why in the world would the Mefaresh bother quoting the later pasuk? Just quote the earlier pasuk like the Ran did. Why would the Rush and the Mefaresh specifically quote the later pasuk? So in the Sefer Nidre's reason, he suggests that the must be the Rush and the Mefaresh hold that the pasuk ki yidor neder la'Hashem o'yishava shvua is not a good enough source to link the two, because when it says ki yidor neder la'Hashem, there's a before it mentions shvua, there's a key word, a divider. It says oh, hishava shvua. Oh divides one from the other. So that wouldn't be a strong way of linking the two of them. The stronger pasuk that links them is ki yidor neder, is the pasuk that they call neder vikol shvuas isar without the word o in between. That's one suggestion. The other suggestion that he has is that the Rush and the Mefarish were bothered. Why, just because the Torah mentions both of them in the same pasuk, would the Tana mention them together specifically in the context of kinuyim? Meaning there's so many halachas of nedarim, so why not by every single halacha of a neder mention shavuah together with neder? Why specifically when we're talking about kinuyei nedarim, that's where we decide that we need to mention shavuos as well? Why not by every other halacha of neder or every other halacha of shavuah? So it must be because kinuyim is learned from the word kol. So we want a pasuk that has the word kol in it. That kol, all forms of neder, all forms of shvuah. So they leave aside the pasuk that says ki yidor neder l'Hashem o yishava shvuah, because from that pasuk itself you don't see kinuyim. And they, to the Mefarish and the Rush, pick a pasuk of kol neder, the kol shvuas yisir, all different forms of a neder and a shvuah. So that teaches us kinuyim as well. That's why it has that as well. So frankly, Gemara v'lisni kinuy shvuos basar nedarim. But if the reason the Mishnah mentions all of these different types of kinuyim is because really we wanted to talk about nedarim. But once the Torah puts nedarim and shvuos together, so we mention nedarim and shvuos. And once we mention nedarim and shvuos, we also mention charamim and akdeshos. If that's that's really what it's charam menazirus, if that's really what it, the way Rebbe was thinking, he should have started with nedarim, then mentioned Shavuos, then Charamim, then Nazirus, or then Nazirus, then Charamim. Why does he, that's not the way the Mishnah is ordered though. It says, the Mishnah says Nedarim, then Charamim, then goes back to Shavuos. But if really it's the Nedarim and Shavuos that are connected to each other, shouldn't Nedarim and Shavuos have been mentioned one right after the other? So answers the Gemara, I did the Tana Nedarim, de Mitzar Cheftza Alei, Tana Nami Charamim, de Mitzar Cheftza Alei. La Fuke Shavua, de This is the most critical distinction that we have between a neder and a shvua. That a neder is an iser cheftza. When a person takes a neder, they're making an object, a specific object, usser to them. They're not making anything different about themselves. They're making a din in the object. If I say this tissue box is usser to me, it's a din in this tissue box. I'm allowed to have any other tissue box in the world. It's this cheftza that I'm making usser to me. But if a lashon of a shavua is a din in the gavra, that I say the tissue boxes are usser to me, that it's a din on me, that I'm not that I am accepting not to get hana from whatever items there might be. That's a fundamental chiluk in Isra Gavra versus Isra Chefza. The emphasis on the object or an emphasis on the person. This is the only place Gavra and Chefza really appears in Shas, by Nedarim and Shavuos. In the Brisker methodology, it became very popular to explain a lot of things by Isra Gavra versus Isra Chefza, but in Shas, we only have it really by Neder and Shavuah. In fact, the Acharon, the Nesivus, the Simon Reish Lama Dalet says, okay, so we know a neder is an iser is an iser chefza, and a shavua is an iser gavra. What about every other iser in the Torah? Is pig an iser gavra or an iser chefza? And the fact that I'm not allowed to eat chazer, is that because chazer is inherently a chefza of iser, or is it that I'm not allowed to eat chazer? So the Nesiva says all isurim d'oraisa are iser chefza. All isurim drabanan are an isur gavra. An isur chefza means that the object has inherent characteristics of isur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, can create objects with inherent characteristics of isur. So he can make a pig, asir. He can make a nevela, a trefa, asir. But the Rabbanan don't have the power to imbue characteristics in anything. The Rabbanan can't say that chicken and milk, for example, is a cheftza shel iser. They can't change the bria. They can't change the metzius. But what the Rabbanan do have the right to do is they have the right to tell me what to do. The Rabbanan, we have a mitzvah in the Torah that we have to listen to the Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan can tell me, I'm not allowed to eat chicken and milk. It's only Nisr Rabbanan. That I'm not allowed to eat chicken and milk. They have the right to tell me what to do. So that's why all Yisurim to Rabbanan, he assumes, are an Isra Gavra, not an Isra Chefza. L'mayin af kamina, whether something is an Isra Gavra or an Isra Chefza, what difference does it make whether you call it an Isra Gavra or an Isra Chefza? So there are a few fundamental differences. First of all, the Rishonim discuss, based on the Gemara over here, by, let's say a person takes a neder b'lashon shvua, or a shvua b'lashon neder. So since they're different from each other, it could be that they're not going to be chal. That if you use a lashon shvua to take a neder, or a lashon neder to take a shvua, since you're saying different things, it's not going to be chal. It's a confusing lashon that doesn't actually mean anything. Another nafkamina is nedarim are chal on a dvar mitzvah as well. A shvua is not chal on a dvar mitzvah. For example, if a person says, Kodem Sukkah Shani Osa, Lulav Shani Noto, Tfilin Shani Maniach. I'm taking a neder that I'm not going to put on Tfilin, something like that. So by a nedarim, the neder is chal, and it's therefore usher for him to sit in that Sukkah, to put on that Tfilin. The Cheftza becomes a Cheftza Shalisser. Whereas by a Shavuah, if he makes it on the Gavra, that I make a din in the Gavra, that I'm not going to be allowed to put on Tfilin, the Shavuah is not chal at all. Because what do you mean? The Gavra is already Mitzuvah, you already have a Mushvah Yomim Marasina. You already have a mitzvah to put on tefillin. You can't make yourself usher in tefillin, usher in sukkah. What you could do is you could say that pair of tefillin, that's usher to me. My mitzvah has to come from a different pair of tefillin. That's what a person could do. Make an isser chefza, but not an isser gavra when it comes to mitzvahs. Another difference between nedarim and shvuos, between a gavra and a chefza, is a shvuos chal both on something of substance and a davar she'in bo mamish, something that's not tangible. For example, on words or something like diburay alecha konam, that speaking with you should be aser ba'ana, should be aser asr for me to do. So if you say a blushon neder, since it's a neder is a din in the chefza, so it doesn't make any sense to say blushon neder, that there's going to be a neder on our dibur, because there's no chefza, there's no object, there's nothing of substance. But if it's a shvur, it's a din in me. I'm not allowed to speak to you. That's what I decide, that I'm going to commit, that I'm not going to speak to you. So even though it's not something of mamashus, it's not something of any substance, nevertheless, it would still be chal. Those are some of the differences between between neder and shvua. But now the Gemara says, wait a second, the Mishnah started out, pasach b'kinuyin, kol kinuyin nedarim. The Mishnah was very strange. It started out with a halacha by telling us there's a din called kinuyei nedarim, and then it started giving examples of yados nedarim. It never gave a single example of a kinuy, and we're going to have to wait till Dav Yud till we get any examples of a kinuy, and it never even told me that there's a halacha called yados. It just started giving examples of